going to start now, and hopefully people will come as it carries on. We'll see how it goes. So the everyone has been talking about this share tonight, and hopefully people as it carries on have more people participating. And I really want people to ask questions because everyone's talking about it. And the main question everyone's been asking is, what takes the freelancer? What is a freelancer? Because the subject of today's share is using freelancers on Shabbos. So for the people who are fortunate enough not to know what a freelancer is, I explain what a freelancer is, and then I explain also what the practical nothings are on Shabbos. And the truth is, it's a bit of a bigger subject, so it might be that it spills out onto another share. We'll see. How it goes. So a freelancer is someone. There are loads and loads of different websites nowadays where, if you want a job done cheaply and quickly, you're on these jobs, Fiverr or Upwork, whatever, you know. There are thousands of people from all over the world, and you say, "Look, I want a bookkeeper to reconcile 1,000 transactions, or I want a website design, or I want anything you can think of that can be done on the computer." You've gone through these websites and you have people who say, "Can you do this today? No problem. It'll cost £50 or £5, it depends on what country they're usually from." And they will commit themselves to do the job. Once the job has been done, you can approve it, and once you've approved it, then the money goes through. So the shaila is, as a very simple case of a freelancer, and the shaila is are you allowed to let these people do their work on Shabbos? Yeah. So there's a couple of different scenarios I want to explore, and we'll hopefully be able to get to the bottom of it. I remember Rabbi Shaul Solomon, someone asked him, "How do you prepare so many shear? How long did it take you to prepare a shear?" He said, 30 years and half an hour. 30 years of steiging and learning out of the sugars, and half an hour to put it all together. So I feel that this subject is a bit like that. And we've been learning these sugars, and then they are encompassing many, many different shailas of Amir Lelachri, Amir Lachum, Schiyoim, Kablonus, all these different things. And I feel like, so hopefully today we'll deal with a few of the questions, and it might, as I said, it might spin onto another one if relevant. Because there are lots and lots and lots of different shailas. And there's also machloksim within the Rabbonim in Manchester about different shailas as well. So, as I've done, we're going to discuss today about Schiyoim Kablonus, and the background of that is Amir Le'akum. So it's asked to ask a non-Jew to do a melacha for you, either because it's Dava, you're speaking words of Issa on Shabbos, or because of it's Issa Shabbos, it's Kal Benechem, it's Issa the to do melachos on Shabbos. You get any non-Jewish person to turn the lights on for me, so we avoid that. Or the other reason is because it's shlichus liyisrael, i.e. that when a goy does something for me, he is my shliach to do this ma'aser. And normally we don't say hakam. Normally in the Gemara we don't say shlichus liyisrael luchum. I mean, if I don't really want him to be my shliach, I just want him to. He just does it, which I'll get to in a minute. He's not normally my shliach. But in this case, Chazal said, no, it's going to be, we go to Chumrah, that he is considered my shliach when he does stuff. And we're going to see later on, even if he does things of his own accord, it can also be a problem, and it can also be asr, right? You have to be mochin. So, the
why
question...
Why would Rabbi Yisrael help?
Oh, why would people get there? Yeah.
You see,
shliach is for you at the end of the day. Why does Rabbi Yisrael help? Yeah, that's a really important question, which is, on the one hand, it's not very clear. The one reason why the sugars are challenging is it's not very clear. Like you said quite brilliantly, on the one hand, I can't ask him to do it with my Anissa Shabbos. But then, in a lot of scenarios, I can hint to him, and if he understands himself, then it's mutter. But then, at the same time, there are scenarios where if he's my Schiyo, whatever that means, right? Then even if he goes, let's typical example, he works in my office in a Schiyo context. Well, I'm going to just find that in a minute. He comes in, and he goes in on Yom Tov, right? Just to finish off a project. He's a conscientious fellow, nothing to do with me. He has the keys, goes in. If I see him doing that, I have to stop him, right? right? But why? What's different? So let's explain some of the sugyas. So the main posuk actually deals with the sugya is actually Shulchan Aruch Rav, and a lot of the posuk can kind of go with the Shulchan Aruch Rav because he explains it in a lot of detail. He's got lots of pages in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and he's got another 10 pages at least in Medur Basra, where he discusses all the lomdas, which is quite a lot, you know, it's relatively unusual, so it just shows how important the sugya is. So he's like this. He says, Ava, in hu oise b'toris kablonis, if this person, this non-Jewish person, does a piece of work b'toris kablonis, which means shekibal alav la'asos kach v'kach ba'ad tzcha kach v'kach, which means he says, I'm going to do this job for you, for this amount of payment. Let's give an example. A bookkeeper is a great example. He'll do the reconciliation, or let's make an easier example. Let's say, anyone give a good example? The case of the Gemara is he'll make a beged for you. I will sew this piece of clothing for you, and I'll charge £50, right? Whether he gets the wool and the materials, whether from his own stuff or I give him the stuff. Like, for example, I give him a beged, lit for a beged to sew, and I tell him, I'll give you this amount of money if you finish it, or ben shaloi kibbut alav klal lar kol beged. He doesn't say I will charge £50 for the whole beged. Rather, she cuts as loy, but kol amma v'amma. Every amma that I'm going to sew, I'm going to charge £5, right? Mutter la'nichu shi'yase kom lachta b'shabbos. I'm allowed to let him do all his work over Shabbos, right? Even if it's my thing, it's my. Afin lachatchila mutter. And even though lachatchila is mutter, and I'm going to add, the Mishnah Berurah says, even if he says, oh yeah, I'll finish this off on Saturday. No problem, lachatchila, you're allowed to let him, and everything's fine. Why? As long as you don't give it to him just before Shkia, because then we'll get there. I'll discuss it. The Avah Pi Shadush and Achri Yasim Shas. Even though you know that the Goy will do this thing on Shabbos, and that's what he wants to do, Mikom Nachri Ein Oisim Shvul Taivas Yisrael. Nevertheless, the Nachri is not doing it because of me. Ella Bishvul Atzmai. He's only doing it on Shabbos. Lemaher Lehashlim Melachtoi. He just wants to finish off the job. He's got a job, he's focused on the job, and he wants to finish it off Kedei the Kabbal Scharei. Once he knows, when I finish this garment, I get my 50 quid, and that's that. So why is he actually coming in and doing this work, no matter what day it is? Because for himself. The Ein Duma, the Schiyon, and it's not similar to this concept called the Schiyon. Shehaske Yom Ein Melacha Shaloi Klal. If I employ someone for a day, then his the jobs are not his. I've just employed him for a day. He's not doing it to do the work, because you know why? Because he can go home at the end of the day. He works 9 to 5. He goes, and the best thing about being employed is it's not your geschäft. You leave it, and you leave it at home, and that's that. Whether the work's finished or not finished, I've done my hours, finished. And that is a schiyun. V'eimah toeles klal v'hagomorah. The goy, who's the schiyun, has no benefit from finishing the job. El kavarasoi la'avoid esi yisrael kol ayon k'day shiten schari. A typical job is I come in, I do my 9 to 5. I've got, and what happens, I was once working in a very big global bank, and I went in, right? That's what my job was. I went in, and all the IT systems were down. Fine, great. Stay there. I'm getting paid for the day. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, I'm a schiyon. I do whatever you want me to do with a reason. So as long as, and if there's something random, oh, can you do this? Yeah, I'm employed. I'll do it. Yeah, that's what schiyon is. So what's fascinating about these halachos, which I haven't seen personally in other areas that I've come across, is the Chazal gets the kishkas of the psychology of why is a person doing something. These are creating nafkumis and halacha of why is this person doing the same job. You can have one person who is making a beged another person is making it naked. One person is mutter lechatchila for him to make it on Shabbos. The other person is absolutely aser and you have to stop him from making it Shabbos. What's the difference? The first guy is just charging for making the beggar, making the garment. And the second guy is a schiyan, that's his job. He works a certain amount of fixed hours and he's there for you to ask him to do whatever you ask him to do. And it happens to be you ask him to make the garment today. Right? Both of these scenarios are complete opposites. What's pshat? Because the first guy, Chazal, understood the psychology that he's coming in for his own das. And therefore it's not a shlichus of the Yisrael. It's his own thing. It's like any other. It's like a goy is allowed to turn on a light in a room for himself because it's for him. So too, a goy is allowed to do some work for himself because he's been paid.
Whereas, well, conscientious worker, you're trying to say, even though you've broken from Monday to Friday from 9 till 5, if it comes in Shabbos, you have to stop it. Why?
He
must have finished the job.
Why does he want to finish the job
by turning on the light?
Because otherwise, you have to work hard on Monday. He wants to get it out of the way.
So this might be what I was saying. What I was going to say might spill over to another shir, there's another shayla about people who are employed in an office. So I wanted to start with the freelancers, and then we can
move on.
And then now, what the person do ask is they say, wait a minute, similar to what you're asking, when I'm a schiyon, I'm coming in on my own accord. Why? Because I want to get paid, right? If I don't come in, I might not get paid. So I'm also coming in my own accord. So the answer is, is because although he wants to get paid, his main reason for coming in is to keep the Jewish person happy. He's got a boss, and if he wants to come in, and therefore he hasn't got a specific job to do. I just come in and do whatever you want me to do, right? A very good example is a cleaner. They work a couple of hours, come in on Monday from 2 till 4, right? And she says, hi, I'm here, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? That is shlichus. That is a schiyon, right? Okay. So, therefore, a kablum, right, is a kablum is someone who does it for himself, and that's very important in the Torah. However, you should know one thing that's very important. Is that if someone's, let's say, a chayla, we know that a chayla, a non-Jew, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do melacha for a chayla, right? For someone who's ill. So too, if I've got a schiyon, my cleaner is there from 2 to 4, right? And I want them to do something. That's fine because the schiyon is part of the issa of a mir lakum. So if a mir lakum is mutter, then the schiyon is also mutter. That's very important. So say for someone's not well, for example, so then it doesn't fall in to the limitations of a schiyon, because if a mir lakum is mutter, a schiyon is also mutter. Yeah, is that clear? Okay, that's quite a big chiddush that I didn't realize until we're going through these sugyos. There's other things to take into account even with a kavanah. So one thing is that if you require him to do the melacha on Shabbos, then it's going to be a problem because you're kind of forcing him to do it on Shabbos. And the second thing is Morris Ayin, that if it's public, so for example, if that's an example where people had employees, he let them come in for whatever it was a kavanah, it was okay, but they started sending emails, right? Or to clients, well, that's now a Morris Iron, because that's now a problem that people are saying, oh look, there's someone working for you on Shabbos, and they can't do that. And there's another last issue, which we're going to come into it in our next year about the employee, which is that if you're gaining directly from that person coming in on Shabbos, he's a company, he wants to get his beggars, yeah? But if the example they bring is someone to manage a bathhouse, a swimming pool, so if that swimming pool is closed on Shabbos, I won't get any profits that day, yeah? But if it's open on Shabbos, I will get profits. Therefore, if the guy comes in on Shabbos, and I'm therefore going to directly get benefit from that guy coming in on Shabbos, that's also a problem, because I'm benefiting from the issa that the guy is doing on Shabbos, even though he's not doing it for me, he's doing it for him, but I'm benefiting from that. Therefore, going back to Fiverr, Upwork, freelancer.com, all these freelancers. You ask them to do a specific job, it's standard case, it's absolutely fine, it's a fixed price, it's a mefurish shulchan aruch, made from dalud, and even if they say they're going to do it on Shabbos, it's absolutely fine. you don't have to do anything. But you do need to give them enough time to finish it on Shabbos. Okay. What happens if it's, let's say, a big job? It would take, let's say, I don't know, 3 months to finish. So it's quite normal that you pay them, they give you an invoice every month. You're paying them, let's say, it's not doing it for the job or for each hour of the begging you're making, you're doing it per hour. I have someone who's a freelancer who works for me, and what they do is they charge me per hour. I just give them loads of stuff to do, yeah? Loads of just contracts and emails and just loads of stuff. And they just do it, right? It adds to their pile, they're just doing it. And so for many, many hours in the code that I learned in, we're discussing what is the situation of this person. Because on the one hand, they're taking on a job or multiple jobs. But on the other hand, they're paid per hour. They've got their hourly rate, right? So when they're doing their job, they're doing it for me, they're doing it for them. What would you think, based on what we discussed? That is?
Doing it for you.
They're doing it for your benefit.
I was also thinking that they're paying per hour. You can't say I'm paying for the job, there's a word of that. However, the answer is not true. If you're paying them per hour, so the Shulchan talks about a case when someone's come to deliver a letter, and it might take him a few days to get there. I don't know how long it would take him. So he said, you know what, deliver this letter, we'll assess how long it's taking you by the length of time it takes you to get there. I will pay you per day or per hour, right? But the job is still the job. It's just you're just defining it by paying it per hour. That is what Shulchan Aruch says as a kavanah. It's absolutely fine because he's taken on this particular job. Whether you're paying it per hour or not, it doesn't matter. It's the problem with Shiyom is only when he has no fixed job. Come in between these hours and do whatever I need you to do. But in this case, he has a fixed job. What happens when you pay him every month? You're paying him and he hasn't finished the job. He's only halfway, third way through. But every month he gives you an invoice. Like the person who works for me. The answer is, it's also fine. Because they've taken on a fixed job. It's just a cash flow issue. You just want them to, like, manage. It's not helpful for anyone to pay the whole lot at the end. So although you're reckoning every month, it's still paying for that fixed job. So here you have an extension of that. You have a fixed job. You have Kiddush number one, which is per hour is still part of that fixed job because it's just we don't know how long it'll take. And Kiddush number two is that even though you're paying them when the job is not finished yet to manage the cash flow, that's also because it's a fixed job. Last item, a bookkeeper. You say, I'm going to get a freelancer and I've got 1,000 transactions to reconcile. People who don't understand bookkeeping, the bank has all of these transactions and you have to shtel it soon to an account within your accounting software. So a bookkeeper will do that, they'll go through it and say, okay, this belongs to this, and this belongs to that, postage, that's... And let's say I've got loads of different transactions to do that. And they'll charge 20, 30, 40 pounds an hour to do that, whatever the rate is. Is that a kavanah or is it shiyom? So I initially asked the Rav, and he said, well, it depends. Let's say they left in the middle. They said, we'll do 1,000 transactions. And they said, halfway through this, I'm so sorry, I can't manage anymore, I'm going to go. He said, would you still pay them? So I said, well, yeah, probably would. So he said, well, if that's the case, there's shiyom. Because they're only doing it, they're working these amount of hours for you, paying the power. They say, let's say you estimate 1,000 power. We say, yeah, good, we spend 10 hours an hour, £20 an hour, please have £200. So then, that's a shiyom. So I just called him today to just confirm, and because I couldn't understand that. So where do you break it down? Why not say the 1,000 transactions is 1,000 little tiny jobs? So he clarified his opinion today on the phone. He said, no, it's true. If he takes on the 1,000 jobs, then it is a covenant, right? So and what's pshat the word that he leaves halfway through and I will go, he'll say, it's true, half of the jobs, he's done. So just to finish off today's share, the get out of jail free card is, if you want to be absolutely safe, with no shies about Shechiyah and Kabbalahs, the way to do it is, you at the very beginning of the whole project, you say, I'll pay you 5p a transaction, or I'll pay you a certain amount of thing. Same thing with a cleaner. I'll pay you X amount for every room. I'll pay you, Rafal brings an example of someone's put a secretary to answer the phone. If she just comes for 2 hours and just answer the phone, that's a scheme. Because she just comes and just does what you want. There's no job she's taking on, or he's taking on. But if you say, I'll give you 50p for every phone call you answer, that is now a problem, and they can work on the challenge. So,